to you, and they'd be happy to, if you need to take it home with you, it's our gift. If you just need to borrow it for the morning, use it and then leave it there on your chair, and we'll be able to use it again real soon. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24 and is our text, and in just a moment we'll stand and read that. But let me just give you some introduction before we do that. Remember, the book of Ephesians is like an airplane ride. Paul's up in the air giving us a big picture, and we're looking out the window at 36,000 feet, looking at the big picture of the church and God and what he's done, and we're blessed and chosen and predestined and adopted and accepted and redeemed and forgiven and filled with the Holy Spirit. All these things God's done for us, and that's really the focus of the first three chapters. And then chapter 4, we said last week, Paul lands the plane and says, okay, now that we know all that, let's live it out. And chapter 4, verse 1 says, live a life worthy of your calling. And that kind of is the preview for the next three chapters. And so it gets really practical in chapters 4, 5, and 6. I don't know if you've read those, but really practical. And Paul says, okay, now that all that's true, you've been called, you've been adopted, you've been forgiven. Okay, that's great, but now how do we live that out on Monday and Friday and all the days in between? And so we talked last Sunday about spiritual maturity and how we get there and what it is, and we're going there together. And then Paul goes on in verse 17. We'll get there in just a moment. In fact, I'm going to ask Christina to come, make her way to the front because she's our reader this morning. But there's a question that we might ask ourselves, at least I've asked myself, and it's there in your notes. I want you to see it at the very top. Maybe you've asked yourself this question: how do I live out this life? How can I win over sin and live in consistent victory? Why do I keep falling into the same sins? Why do I keep stumbling in the same places? Why is it this pattern that I can't seem to get over and the things I go through again and again? Well, here's the answer. I'll tell you the answer right now, because we'll come back at the end and look at it again. The answer is this, and it may sound a little bit funny, but Paul's answer we'll see in God's answer in Ephesians is simply this: be the person you already are. That may not make sense, but hopefully it will in a little bit. Be the person that God's already made you to be. Live out the life you've already been given. Wear the clothes that God's provided for you. If that doesn't make much sense, it will in just a little bit. Let's stand together. Christina, would you come? And another new member of our church. I love to see Christina. She's involved in ministry as well. Come on up. Would you come up here? And she's going to read our text. So let's stand out of respect for God's word. We want to stand as it's being read. Ephesians chapter 4, 17 through 24.
So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. In the futility of their thinking, they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of their ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as they indulge in every kind of impurity. And they are all full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned. When you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus, you were taught with regard with your former way of life to put off the old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in the true righteousness of holiness.
Amen. Amen. Father, we pray you bless your word to us today. Open our hearts to hear it. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you, Christina. Great job. I hope you notice as you read the text today, it really falls into two distinct paragraphs. The first one is kind of describing the life of the Gentiles or the pagans or maybe you and I before we came to know Christ. And then it says, but don't live like that, live like this. And so it kind of falls into two pieces this morning, two different halves. And we're going to just take a moment and kind of glide over the first part, because the first part's kind of depressing. It talks about all the sin, all the stuff that we've gone through, and all the bad stuff, and all the things that we've hardened our heart, et cetera, et cetera. And so we're going to kind of touch on that and really focus in on what's the answer. And so write this down. If you're taking notes, fill this in. Number one, don't live like everybody else. That's just a good rule of thumb, isn't it? Don't live like everybody else. In the world that we live in the culture that we live in, how many of you would agree, it's not going the right direction. I mean, if we just go with the flow, we're going to find ourselves going in the wrong direction. The New Living Translation says this about verse 17: with the Lord's authority, let me say this, live no longer as the ungodly do. Listen, for they are hopelessly confused. That describes our culture. It describes the world that we live in. People are confused. They've walked away from God. They're going their own direction. They're doing their own thing. And if you just do what everybody else does, if you just do what everybody at the office does or everybody in the neighborhood does, you're not going to be going in the right direction. So we look here at the, we'll put it up, well, it's there on your notes. I kind of highlighted these verses and just kind of some of the negative things that we see there. They're darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God. It says, because of the ignorance that is in them, due to the hardening of their heart, lost all sensitivity, give themselves over to sensuality, indulge in every kind of impurity, a continual lust for more. I mean, it is just a laundry list of sin and more and more and just jumping right in. There's an interesting phrase, though, I want to point out. Paul says, due to the hardening of their hearts. Write this down. That's a Greek word, callous. We get our word callous from that. So you may look at your hand even today, or you say, well, I got calluses on my hand. Maybe you've been out working. Probably not working in the garden this weekend, but you've been out working or doing something, and you've developed a callus on your hand. We all know what that is, don't we? That's the Greek word here, the hardening of their hearts. And Paul says, listen, that some folks have got a calloused heart, that because they've sinned and continue to sin, and they just keep on going, and they just don't stop, and they're walking far from God, they're getting further and further away, their heart has become calloused and hard. Friend, we don't want that. We don't want to have that willful hardening of our heart, that stubborn, hard heart. The Bible in the Old Testament talks about having a stiff neck, you know, and just kind of pulling against the things of the Lord, having a rebellious heart. The heart says, you can't tell me what to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. And Paul describes people far from God in those terms, and their hearts become calloused. It says that they've given themselves over to sensuality, so to indulge in every kind of impurity. Again, that sounds like our culture, where everything goes and everything's okay, and you can't tell me what I can do and what I can't do. I'm going to do what I want to do, and it doesn't matter what you think. And we would say this, that people have jumped in with both feet, right? And they just say, I don't care what you think. I don't care what your opinion is. I'm going to do what I want to do. And I'm just going to just, you know, sin and do whatever I feel like doing. And Paul says the bottom line is that there's no restraint. There's no shame over sin. There's nothing, no hiding it anymore. Hey, this is just who I am, what I'm going to do. And if you don't like it, that's just too bad. That's the world that we live in. But let's understand and look at that very last phrase there. Paul says there's a continual lust for more. And isn't this true? Think about sin and your experience with it, that sin doesn't satisfy. That's the bottom line, that sin doesn't satisfy. You can go out and sin, and guess what? It just doesn't satisfy your heart. You're going to want to do it again. You're going to keep doing it. And what you did isn't enough, so you're going to do more and do more and do more. Listen, doesn't that sound like the world that we live in? And the drug addict gets high, but he comes down for that high, and he needs another one, needs a better one, needs a bigger one. The alcoholic gets drunk, but then the sobers up and needs more and needs more and needs more. Sin doesn't satisfy. And the sexually immoral person goes from one thrill to another, but after a while you find that that thrill isn't as thrilling anymore, so I've got to go do something different or do this or do that. And there's just no satisfaction in sin. We've got to keep doing it over and over and over. The greedy person says, someone would say, well, you've got enough. He said, no, I need $1 more because sin doesn't satisfy. Mark my words. You heard Joy tell her story today, and she didn't say it in quite those words, but I'm sure after service you went and talked to her and said, Joy, did the sin you were involved in satisfy? No, it did not satisfy. Sin does not satisfy. Like the Rolling Stones sang so many years ago, I can't get no satisfaction. Forgive me for quoting the Rolling Stones, but that's just, it came to my mind. Let's move on to a better way of thinking. Point number two, this is where we want to look at this morning. So don't live everyone else's life. Paul says, live your new life. As a follower of Jesus, you've got a new life. Live in that. Focus on that. There's a better way to live. There's a different way to live. There's a godly way to live. There's a way to live in consistent victory. There's a way to live in a new way. And Paul uses a very clear word picture. And so today I'm going to give you this word picture. You maybe already saw it when Christina read it, but a simple 3-point word picture. It has to do with clothing. Take off your old clothes, change your way of thinking, put on your new clothes. If that's the secret to victory, that's the steps that God wants us to take to have victory over sin, is to take off our old clothes, change the way we think, and then put on the new clothes that God provided for us. And that kind of goes back to what I said earlier. Become the person you already are. Put on the clothes God provided for you. He's given you new clothes. Put those on. Wear those. So the picture Paul uses here is of getting dressed, of wearing the proper clothes for the situation. And even though we live in a very casual culture, we're familiar with this concept. I've got a smile because we had a memorial service yesterday and for Ruth Hohola, and there's another one this afternoon for Bob Lunsbury. So it's a busy time for memorial services this weekend. And I always wear a suit and a tie for a memorial service or a funeral or a wedding. And people say, Pastor, I didn't even recognize you. You know, you're so dressed up. And people say, well, Pastor, how come you don't wear a suit on Sunday? And listen, here's why. And if you want to wear a suit on Sunday, that's great, and that's high. And I used to do that all the time. But our culture is so casual. And I don't want that to be a barrier. As people come in, especially men from our neighborhood or men from this area, they're not going to probably be wearing a suit and tie to church on Sunday. And I've had people say, well, Pastor, I can't go to church because I don't have any nice clothes. Well, that's why I dress down a little bit, because I feel like I don't want that to be a barrier to people, where they say, well, I don't have a suit, so I can't go to church. Does that make sense? It's not that I don't like wearing suits. I like wearing suits. I've got a whole closet full of suits. But on Sunday, I just prefer to kind of keep it a little lower so people can feel like, you know, I don't have to have a suit to go to church. But, you know, I'll wear them for every wedding and every funeral. So if you want to see your pastor in a suit, just come out to that. And that's no problem. But just a little insight into my thinking there, because, you know, as people are coming into the church, I don't want them to feel like they can't fit in because of that. Okay? All right. But Paul uses that kind of illustration about putting on clothes. And what you'd wear to a wedding is different than what you'd wear to the beach, I hope, okay? So we look at military. We look at military folks. We look at police officers. There's uniforms for certain occasions. We see that. We recognize that. And so Paul uses that word picture. He says, look, your clothes are important. So number one, take off your dirty clothes. Verse 22, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. We all have an old sinful self. Amen? None of us were born perfect. None of us were born sinless. We've all made mistakes. Not only mistakes, but we've willfully sinned. We've said, God, I'm going to do my own thing, go my own direction. I'm going to do what I want to do. We've all said it, and we've all done it. Paul says, put that off. Put off your old sinful life is like a suit of dirty, smelly clothes. Listen, and so Paul here tells us a couple things. They're on the back of your notes. He says, don't deny that they're dirty. I mean, how ridiculous would it be to come today to church and, you know, grease-stained clothes, smelly, stinky clothes, say, well, I'm not dirty. I'm fine. I'm clean. No, the first step is not to deny that you're dirty. Faith begins with saying, God, I'm a sinner. I can't fix myself. And that's that next fill-in there. Don't deny that you're dirty. You know, be honest about it. Say, Lord, I need you. We've got to start there saying, God, I'm a sinner. My clothes are dirty. I've walked away from you. I don't know you. And so we can't fix ourselves. We don't deny that. We start by saying, yes, I'm a sinner. And listen, these dirty clothes aren't to be washed. We're not told just, you know, try harder, be a better person, or turn over a new leaf. No, just take them off. Throw them away. I mean, don't even give them to Goodwill. I mean, throw them in the garbage. I mean, burn them, whatever. Get rid of them. They're no good for anybody else. God's got something better for you. That old way of life can't be redeemed. It can't be patched over. It can't be dry cleaned or fixed. You've just got to say, you know what, God? Here's my old clothes, my old way of doing things, my old way of thinking. I'm just going to take that off, and I'm not even going to give it to the Goodwill. I'm going to throw it in the garbage, and you're going to take care of it. You see, don't miss this next fill-in here. Faith is active. This is something that I've got to do. We don't say, well, God, I pray that you take my clothes off of me. No, we do it ourselves. Listen, this is important. No one can do this for you. We don't pray that Jesus would take these clothes off. No, we say, Lord, I am going to do it myself. I am going to get rid of these clothes. I'm going to get rid of this old way of living. I'm not going to do it anymore. I can't pray it off. I've got to just, you know, it's active. It's something I've got to do. We're told to put them off ourselves. Now, you wouldn't just put clean clothes over dirty clothes. Amen? If you're wearing dirty, stinky, smelly clothes, you're going to take those off first. You know, before I was a lead pastor, for a long time I was a youth pastor, and I remember going to camp. And, you know, just the insight into camp, middle school camp in particular. Pastor Michael, can you say amen? I mean, it gets to be about, if middle school camp is Monday through Friday, okay, and the rules are you've got to take a shower, young man, and you're in that cabin with some young boys, and it's Thursday afternoon, and they haven't had a shower yet. How do you know you're going to start seeking Jesus pretty quick? I mean, it's pretty bad in there. And so we had the conversation. Okay, buddy, you got to go take a shower. Well, and their response is, I don't have to take a shower. I went swimming yesterday. No, you're going to go take a shower. So listen, pray for your youth pastor. He's facing things that you never knew he was facing when he goes to camp. You know, but the answer to that young man is not to just go swimming, you know, or put on dirty clothes over, or clean clothes over dirty. Get rid of those dirty clothes. The same thing is true for us. We've got to get rid of them. Here's the best illustration, and I won't read the text, but just maybe jot it down. John 11 is the story of the resurrection of Lazarus. And our Lord's friend Lazarus had been in the grave for 4 days when Jesus and the disciples arrived at Bethany. And even Martha said, verse 18, hey, it's been 4 days. The body's beginning to decay. It's not going to smell good in there. Jesus, be careful. You know, we know how things work. You know, it's going to be ugly. Jesus said, you know, come out, and Lazarus came out, and of course he was wrapped in the grave clothes. What a great miracle. But you know, Jesus said this, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Lazarus didn't wear those grave clothes the rest of his life. He didn't, you know, he got rid of them and he put on the new clothes. And that's a picture of what God wants to do for us. He would have looked funny walking around like a mummy for the rest of his life. No, take those grave clothes off. So step number one. Are you with me? Take off your dirty clothes. Step number two, change your thinking. Here's where sometimes we forget. Change your thinking. Verse 23, Paul says, be made new in the attitude of your mind. You see, we've got to change the way that we think and what we think about. That goes against our culture again, because our culture says, well, do whatever you feel. And our culture is all about emotions and, oh, I feel this and I feel that. Nothing wrong with emotions. But how do you know that the Christian life, if I'm going to be successful, I've got to have my mind engaged. I've got to be thinking godly thoughts. I've got to be directing my thoughts towards the things of the Lord. I can't just put my mind on cruise control and expect to have a good, godly, solid life. I've got to change my thinking. Listen, my actions, where do my actions come from? Think about, you know, let's just dig deep here for a moment. My actions come from my thoughts. I think about something before I ever do it. And so we've got to understand that my actions come from my thoughts. And so my thoughts have got to be right. My thoughts have got to be good. My thoughts have got to be pure. And those are going to lead to the right actions. So write that down. My actions come from where? They come from my thoughts. You know, I read online this week. So how do you know if it's online, it's got to be true, okay? I found it on the internet. Because I had the question, how many thoughts do we have a day? Isn't that a fascinating question? And it probably varies, but the articles I found were between 50,000 and 70,000 thoughts a day. And one of yours just now was, wow, that's a lot, okay? Or one of yours was, but Pastor, you don't know my spouse. Okay, but that's a whole different question, okay? We have all sorts of thoughts bouncing through our heads, even right now. And even as I'm preaching, you're tempted to think about this or that or anything else. Listen, we've got thoughts. Our minds are bombarded with our thoughts. A.W. Tozer said this. It'll be up here on the screen, this quote. I love it. Our thoughts not only reveal what we are, they predict what we will become. We will soon be the sum total of our thoughts. Isn't that true? I mean, just think about your life. If you think positive thoughts, if you think good thoughts, if you think godly thoughts, that's going to have a direction for my day and for my life. And just do this experiment with me for just a moment. Think about the last time you felt like you really fell into sin, you really blew it, you really stumbled in your faith. And I can almost guarantee you, if you kind of rewound the tape of your mind, you think, you know what, before that I had some thoughts towards that. You know, I had some negative thoughts, or I had some tempting thoughts. I didn't handle well. You know, our mind leads us into those temptations and it leads us into the places maybe we shouldn't go. So Paul says we've got to change our thinking. And that's part of the image of God within us. Think about this. One of the things about human beings that's unique is we can change our thinking. I'm not sure if your cat can change its thinking. I'm not sure if your cat thinks at all. But I mean, you know, I'm not sure if our animals can do that. I mean, they just, more stimulus response, you know. But God says part of my image in you is you can control your thoughts. Did you know that? Anybody out there today? You can control. I know you're thinking about it right now. We can control our thoughts. We can direct our mind. We can change. Again, Philippians chapter 4. It's in your notes. A great verse, one that we all ought to be familiar with. Chapter 4, verse 8 of Philippians. Look at it with me. It says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, what? Think about such things. It's a command. It's a direction. It's a directive. Think about these things. Think about good things. Think about noble things. Think about praiseworthy things. Think about admirable things. We can do that. And Paul says, take off your old clothes and change your thinking. The best way to change the way you feel is change the way what you're thinking about. Begin to think about things of gratitude. Begin to praise God for what he's done. Begin to focus on the goodness of the Lord. Begin to think about the fact, not that it's raining, but thank God that I'm alive again today. The Christian mind is to be made new, to renew and renew and renew your mind daily, hourly, moment by moment. Friends, we're told to renew our mind with Scripture. You know, that we've got to be in the Word of God. We've got to be reading the Bible for ourselves. I hope that your plan isn't to say, well, I'll listen on Sunday and I'll come back next Sunday and listen again. Listen, if you're eating Scripture one day a week, you're going to have a struggle in your mind. You've got to learn to feed yourself. You've got to learn to renew your mind with Scripture on your own. Pick up your Bible and read it. Read a chapter a day. Read a psalm. Read a proverb. We've got little guides out there in the information desk. Pick up one of those and that'll help you. Whatever it takes, renew your mind with Scripture. A good plan is not to wait till next Sunday to crack your Bible open. Renew your mind with Scripture meditation. Not just read it, but meditate about it. Think about it. Get it into your heart and your soul. Renew your mind with praise and worship. Listen, while you're driving down the road, you can go ahead and turn the radio off. You don't need any more news or information or commentary or classic rock. Why not take that time and just make that into a praise and worship time? What do I want to praise you? I want to worship you. It doesn't matter whether you're a good singer or not. Roll up the windows if you're not a good singer. Just go for it, okay? It doesn't matter. Renew your mind with praise and worship. Renew your mind with studying the Word of God. You know, one of the reasons why we give you this listening guide is that you may say, well, I want to go back and I want to read those verses again. I want to get deeper into what Pastor's talking about on Sunday. That's why our Connect groups are focused on discussing the message from Sunday morning. So you can just really dig in deeper and say, okay, let's talk about this. You know, and so renew your mind with study. Later on in this letter, Paul talks about the armor of God. We'll talk about it in a few weeks. But one of the pieces of that armor, you may know, is the helmet of salvation. And Paul puts on the helmet of salvation. Again, why? To guard our mind and protect our thoughts, because our mind is so important. Look at this verse here on the screen from 2 Corinthians chapter 10. It says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Friends, we've got to take captive our thoughts. Grab a hold of it and say, that thought is not allowed. I'm going to take that thought captive. I'm going to make it obedient to Christ. I'm not going to think on that. I'm not going to think like that. I'm going to take off my old clothes and I'm going to change the way that I think. Number three, three-part answer. Part three, put on your new clothes. Verse 24, and put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. God's provided some great clothes for you. God's provided a wonderful outfit for you to wear. There's no limit on the price. You can go and purchase it. I mean, I don't know what your dream outfit would be, but you can. God's provided for you. Go put it on, wear it. God's given it to you. They're new clothes. They're not the stinky, smelly, sweaty old clothes you're wearing. They're the new clothes that God wants to give to you. You see, here's what we're talking about. That is your new identity. Your identity is no longer the sin that you used to commit. I'm going to say it again. Your identity is no longer the sin you used to commit. Now, I love Joy's story. I love the fact that she shared a little bit about her past. But I know that Joy does not think of herself as a heroin user or an ex-heroin user. That's in her past. She's not identified with that. Oh, that's part of her story, and she could talk about it. But she is a child of God. She's been forgiven by God. She's a new person in Christ. That's her identity. Joy, am I right? Amen. Amen. You see, we don't have to be identified by our sins and our past or the clothes that we used to wear. Your identity is in Jesus and the new clothes he's given you to wear. That is who you are now. We sang that song this morning. Do you remember? Who you say that I am. God, who do you say that I am? That was a great song for us to sing this morning. It fit perfectly in this message right here. So let me tell you a quick story. This is a great illustration of this. I read a story about a pastor this week who adopted three children from the Ukraine years ago. And like many countries, you just don't go there and pick up the children. There's red tape and bureaucracy and several visits back and forth and all that. And so on the last visit, they went there to finally finalize the adoption of their three children. And they were there for 35 days, just kind of waiting and going through the red tape and all the forms and all the things they had to do. And he said the highlight of that trip, because they're going to take their three children out of that country of the Ukraine and bring them home, the highlight of the trip and the time when the kids knew that they were now their parents was when they went to the store and bought them a new set of clothes. Isn't that cool? Because they realized that, hey, we're going to take you. These were orphans that never had a new set of clothes. They wore hand-me-downs at the orphanage. I mean, they just didn't have any nice things to wear. And so their new mom and dad took them to the department store there in the Ukraine. And they said, we're going to buy you a new outfit. And, you know, all the way, everything is new. You know, socks, underwear, the dress, whatever. It's all going to be new. And you're going to leave your old clothes at the orphanage. Amen. Get these new clothes on, and we're going to go to the airport, and we're going to go home. Isn't that a great picture? And that's what's happening here in this text. Paul says, leave the old clothes behind. They're not who you are anymore. They don't define who you are. Yeah, God's given you new clothes. And so write this down. Again, I hope you get this. It may sound kind of like a little bit of a tongue twister, but I believe what Paul's saying here is become who you already are. Does that make sense? You know, we already have these new clothes. We already are a new creation in Christ. Just become that. Just walk in that. You know, it's already been done for us. Live out the life that you've already been given. He's already made you new. Now live like it. He's already given you these new clothes. Wear those clothes. He's already given that to you. So walk in that. Is that making sense to anybody this morning? You're a new creation in Christ. Act like it. You're on your way to heaven. Act like it. You are no longer a prisoner to sin. Act like that. Live like that. Wear those new clothes. And when you're tempted to sin or go back to your old way of living, just say, you know what? I left those old clothes behind. I burnt them. I gave, you know, they're no longer. I've changed the way I think. I don't think like that anymore. I don't go back to that. And I've got these new clothes. And you know what? I kind of like them. I like walking with the Lord. I like living this new life. I'm not going to go back to the person I used to be because God's already given it to me. You see, this isn't even something that we have to ask God for. God's, if you're a follower of Jesus, he's already given this to you. You don't need to pray and ask him for it. It's already yours. It's hanging in the closet. Go put it on. Wear it. I mean, get dressed in that. Live in that. You take off the old, you change your thinking, and you put on the new. I'm going to close this morning. You've got a little bonus insert in your program. Take it out. It's a green one. And I've had this for years. I didn't write it myself, but I've kept it in my file because I thought, you know, it's a great reminder. Who am I? Who are these? What are these new clothes that I'm wearing? What is this new person I am in Jesus? And I thought, well, what better way for us to kind of wrap this message up by reading this together. Can we do that? Are you ready to get excited about who you are in Jesus? Anybody? If not, I'll just do it and pretend you're excited as well, okay? And maybe by the time we're done, we'll all be excited together. But you know, this is a great reminder. Who am I? What do these new clothes look like? What are they, you know, what do they involve? I mean, what does it mean? So I want us to read these statements, and if you're a follower of Jesus, they're true. I want you to read them out loud. I want you to get, if they make you happy, you can smile, you can get excited about this, because this is God's word to us. Who am I? Are you ready? Let's read it together. Who am I? I am the salt of the earth. I am the light of the world. I am a child of God. I am a part of the true vine, a channel of Christ's life. I am Christ's friend. I am chosen and appointed by Christ to bear his fruit. I am a slave of righteousness. I am enslaved to God. I am a son of God. God is spiritually my father. I am a joint heir with Christ, sharing his inheritance with him. I am a temple, a dwelling place of God. His spirit and his life dwell in me. I'm united to the Lord, and I'm one spirit with him. I am a member of Christ's body. I am a new creation. I am reconciled to God and a minister of reconciliation. I am a son of God and one in Christ. I am an heir of God since I am a son of God. I am a saint. I am God's workmanship, his handiwork, born anew in Christ to do his work. I am a fellow citizen with the rest of God's family. I am a prisoner of Christ. I am righteous and holy. I am a citizen of heaven, seated in heaven right now. I am hidden with Christ in God. I am an expression of the life of Christ because he is my life. I am chosen of God, holy and dearly beloved. I am a son of light and not of darkness. I am a holy partaker of the heavenly calling. I am a partaker of Christ. I share in his life. I am one of God's living stones being built up in Christ as a spiritual house. I'm a member of a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. I am an alien and stranger to this world in which I temporarily live. I am an enemy of the devil. I am a child of God, and I will resemble Christ when he returns. I am not the great I am, but I am, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you for the truth of your word today. Father, we pray, Lord, that you would speak to us. We pray, Lord, that you'd imprint deeply upon us your word. Lord, that we would recognize the lie of the enemy that wants to keep us in our old clothes, that wants to keep us chained up in our old way of thinking. And Father, today we recognize the truth of your word that says that you've given us new clothes. Lord, that we can take off our old way of thinking, our old way of living. We can leave those dirty, filthy clothes aside, Lord. It's something that we've got to do. We've got to take them off. And Lord, change our way of thinking. Father, help us to spend time in your word, soaking up what you say about us. Lord, so we can live a life that's pleasing to you. Father, help us to live in victory, not just on Sunday, but Sunday morning, but Lord, all throughout the week as we know who we are, as we get dressed in the morning, Lord, we're wearing the clothes you've set out for us. We're a new creation. We are a new people in you. God, you've done a work in our hearts. Lord, help us to live like it. Help us to walk out this faith. Father, I pray for those that are struggling today, Lord, that they would take a hold of your word, that they would believe your word above anything else, and they would recognize, Lord, that your word is true. Lord, guard our hearts, guard our thinking. Help us, Lord, to think your thoughts. Help us to live in victory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I've given you this green insert because I believe it could be a tool and a help to you. Why not put it on the mirror and you get dressed some more and say, you know what, I'm putting on my clothes, but I'm also putting on the word of God. Put it somewhere where you'll see it, where you'll recognize, you'll be reminded that, God, you know what? This is who I am. It's not who I used to be. It's not who they say I was. This is who I am in you, and God will give you and help you with a victory. Amen? Amen. I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward because part of our worship is giving, and I was excited last night as I sat down and wrote out my tithe check. I thought, Lord, thank you for